Very good.
Thank you.
What a blessing. Let's go back to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. As our brother read to us a few minutes ago, he read about the man's sin. He read about the wicked one that is being revealed. He's not being revealed to everybody. He's uncovered to some. I need to understand this man of sin, this wicked one, is all of false religion personified. I think when we read in the scriptures about Antichrist, I don't think we should be looking at a specific individual, but rather every religion that is not the religion of God is Antichrist. Every preacher that doesn't preach the gospel of God's free grace, every preacher that does not set forth our Savior as both God and man, as the only Savior, as the substitute for sinners, as that one who made satisfaction for the sins of God's people, every preacher who denies the gospel, every religion that denies the gospel, that religion is Antichrist. And in this second chapter, the Apostle Paul personifies all of false religion. This wicked one, this man of sin, is revealed or he's uncovered. He's not uncovered, he's not made known to everybody. But he is made known to God's people. That is, God's people, those who love the gospel, those who believe on the Son of God as he's revealed in the book, those who love the gospel of salvation by grace alone, without any deeds of the flesh, without any works of the law, those who love the message of grace, who love the message of Jesus Christ, whenever we hear another message, it is revealed to us, it is uncovered to us, that that religion, that message is Antichrist. This is what the apostle is saying. Now, as the gospel of free grace goes forth, there are many who shut their ears to the message and they say, we're not going to believe this message. That's too much grace. That's too much Christ Jesus. Surely, preacher, there's something that man must do. There is, we've got to make some contribution to our salvation. Don't tell me that it's all of God. Well, we've got to at least add our faith. We've got to at least add our repentance. And we say, no, there's nothing you add to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He did it all. Amen. He finished the work of salvation that God the Father commissioned him to do. Now, in old eternity in the covenant of grace, our Savior stood as our surety for all of his people, for all of the elect. And right then and there, and I say right then and there, this has really been from old eternity. It never had a beginning, but God has always looked to the Savior for full satisfaction to every demand that he set forth. And the Savior, he came into this world to do the work of actually saving his people from their sins. The angel said to Joseph, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And he did that. And those whose ears have been opened, those who've been given a new heart, those whom God the Spirit has resurrected from a spiritual grave, We love the message of salvation by grace alone in Christ Jesus alone. Amen. And whenever someone comes along preaching any other message, we just won't hear it. We just won't receive it. We don't like it. Now, all of you are gathered this morning listening to the gospel. I hope that God will bring you to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there are many people to whom this message is not a good sound. It's not good news to them. And they refuse to hear the gospel. As I said, too much grace, too much Christ Jesus. Well, this is what God may do. He may send these people a delusion, deception, a false gospel. Oh, the message may come from someone who is very dynamic, someone who has a wonderful personality. It may come forth from a denomination or from a church that's full of excitement. And you're just drawn in. God Himself is the one who is ultimately the one who sent you the delusion. Because you wouldn't receive the gospel. Because you despise the message of salvation by Christ alone. And you'll believe the delusion because by nature, man will receive delusion every single time. And then the Scripture says, then God will damn you for it. He'll damn you for believing the delusion. Well, I'm sure when the Apostle wrote this, those saints to whom he wrote, they must have, when the letter was being written to them, and I remind you, this was a letter. This is the second letter written to the church at Thessalonica. And whenever the pastor, the spokesman, whoever's reading the letter, as they read down through these things about the wicked one, about the man of sin, here's false religion personified, growing by leaps and bounds, many people being deceived, and those who don't believe the gospel, God's sending them a strong delusion, and they believe the lie. I'm sure many of them said, well, what about us? Are we going to be okay? And so he gets down to verse 13 and he says, but. Now up to that point, everything has been somewhat negative. Disturbing. Very troubling. But he gets down to verse 13 and he says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Because God hath from the beginning, what has God done from the beginning? He's from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Whereunto, that is unto this truth, He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's my subject, chosen to salvation. That's the subject for the hour. Chosen to salvation. Election. Now this is not a lecture. We're not sitting in a theology atmosphere, theological atmosphere. It's not a theology class. I want the people of God, I want you, those of you who love the gospel, those of you who love Christ Jesus as He's revealed in the book of God, those of you who delight to hear about the book, who delight to hear about the righteousness of Christ Jesus, I want you to understand this doctrine of chosen unto salvation is a doctrine full of love. It's a wonderful, wonderful doctrine. Oh, what a precious truth. And it should just absolutely comfort your heart. It should speak great peace to your soul. salvation by God. Trace it back. Where do we trace this salvation back to? God choosing us unto salvation. And let me make several points here. First of all, this is a biblical doctrine. It's a biblical doctrine. And that's all that matters about any doctrine, isn't it? That's all. Is it a biblical doctrine? If it's a biblical doctrine, wonderful, then don't be ashamed to declare it and absolutely believe it. If it's a biblical doctrine, if it isn't a biblical doctrine, we don't want to hear anything about it. Well, this doctrine of election unto salvation is a biblical doctrine. Let me give you a few verses. Go over to the book of Matthew. You know, the Lord often speaks of the elect. The elect. And that's what we're talking about. We're coming up on an election here in the next couple of days. There's going to be an election. You'll go and vote. I'm not going to tell you how to vote. Vote ever have you seek God's will and you vote as the Lord would have you vote. I'm not going to tell you how to vote. I'll run your life. But in the vote, there's somebody's going to be elected. There's somebody's going to be the choice. Well, we need to understand of this salvation. If we go back to its origin, let's just go back to the very beginning, we have to trace it back to an election. Okay? To an election. Now, I know that those in free willism, they say foolish things like this. Well, in salvation, God voted for you, and the devil voted against you. Now, you must cast the deciding ballot. The vote is up to you. Well, there's a lot wrong with that, but the basic thing wrong with that is this. The election, when it was held, the devil wasn't around to vote, and you weren't around to vote. The only one who cast the ballot, the only one who did the electing, was God Himself. There's the election. That's why this election is said to be all of grace. In Romans chapter 11, the election is said to be an election of grace. And through the Scriptures, those whom God set His love upon, those that God ordained to be His people, who chose to be His people, they are referred to as the elect. Here in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, look at verse 22. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 22. Here it is. Except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved. Or there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Look at verse 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, it's not possible, but if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And then again, in the 31st verse, speaking of when our Lord shall come back, He shall send His angels with the great sound of a trumpet. They shall gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. There is a group referred to as the elect. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And we know this. The only thing that matters is what the Word of God says. That's all that matters. It's not, let's go to the old theology book. Let's dust off the old writers and see what they have to say. Well, what they have to say really, that doesn't matter. Well, I don't want to go to the Catechism. I want to go to the London Confession of Faith. I want to go to the Westminster Confession of Faith. I want to go to the Philadelphia Confession of Faith. I want to see what the old church fathers, the Baptist church fathers had to say. And in the case of the Westminster Confession of Faith, that's the old Presbyterian church fathers. I want to hear what that they had to say. Listen, what they had to say is irrelevant. It has nothing to do with anything. All that matters is what God has to say in the book.
Amen.
If God's Word teaches election unto salvation, that He has chosen a people unto salvation, then we best believe it.
Amen.
For otherwise, we'll be found in disbelief, in unbelief of God's Word, and therefore robbing God of the glory that is rightfully His in salvation.
Amen.
Because if you deny unconditional election, if you deny that we are chosen to salvation by God and by God alone, then ultimately you're going to make salvation dependent upon, conditioned upon the sinner somewhere along the line. That's heresy. Say, if a preacher doesn't preach election to salvation, are you saying he's not preaching the truth? You got me right.
Amen.
Exactly right. The book of God sets this forth. Romans chapter 8. And we know in the verse 28, most all of God's people know this, and a lot of people who are not God's people know this verse. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, it doesn't say for what God foreknew. Well, God foreknows everything. It doesn't say what God foreknew. It says for whom He foreknew. He also did predestinate. You mean you believe in predestination? I got to believe something about it because right here it is in the Bible. I had a college professor who said, I don't believe a word about predestination. Well, you just can't believe the Scriptures then. I brother Tim James, he said it forth quite eloquently when he talked about we're all predestinated. We arranged to come here. We planned to come here. We predestinated to be here. We did everything that was necessary. We came, we put on our clothes, and we dressed whatever way we decided to dress, and we got in our car. Everything we did was because we had decided to do it. Well, predestination is God deciding ahead of time, God determining ahead of time every single thing that would happen. That's predestination. So, well, you mean God pulling the strings of everything? Now you're understanding me. You mean He controls good and evil? Absolutely. You mean there's nothing that lives or moves or breathes or wiggles but isn't under the control of God? You're getting me right now. Everything happens according to God's will, according to God's predestination. Like the guy who fell down the steps. He was an absolute predestinarian. He fell down the steps and he got up and he said, boy, I'm glad that's over with. Well, we're absolute predestinarians. That's what I am. If you believe the Bible, you've got to be that way. Now, does that take away from us our responsibility? Well, I won't even hold the rail when I go down the steps then. Well, that's foolish. Now you've gone over into foolishness now. Well, if I'm predestined to die when I go across the road, I'll just shut my eyes and here I'll go. Go ahead and I'm more than likely you'll be predestinated to die. I can't control what God has predestinated. But by His grace, He has made me accountable to Him. He has made me responsible to Him. If there's a gospel to be believed, I'm responsible to believe it.
Amen.
If there's a Bible to be read, I'm responsible to read it.
Amen.
If there's a preacher to hear, I'm responsible to hear him.
Amen.
If there's a song of grace to be sung in my heart, I'm responsible to sing it. If there's a God of glory to be praised, I'm responsible to praise Him. And if I don't praise Him, that's my fault.
Amen.
You say, well, I can't figure out predestination and responsibility. Who said you ever had to figure out anything? We just trust God's Word. We seek the Lord. I say to everybody, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. Let the wicked forsake his way. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come thirsty to the water of life and drink. Come hungry to the bread of life and eat. Eat of the Savior. Feed on Him. Drink in the gospel word. And when you do that, I'm going to tell you, it's because you're predestinated to do it.
Amen.
Yes, that's right. That's absolutely right. Tell you what, we're going to wind up in glory. It's all to the praise of the glory of His free grace. Every bit of it. Look here in Romans 8 again. All right, for whom He did foreknow, verse 29. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. And that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. By the way, them He also called, the word is named. He named us. What do you mean, preacher? He wrote our names down in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
There are no new names written down in the Book of Life. My dad used to sing in a quartet. Man, they sang good. They made such great harmony. And I love good harmony. These folks did such a good job in their harmony. But their favorite song to sing that quartet back in Bassett, Virginia, years and years ago. I can't even hardly remember when it was. It's so far back. They sing, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, and it's mine, yes, it's mine, yes, it's mine. Ever sing that? No extra charge for the solo. See, that's why I don't sing solo. There are no new names written down in glory. The names written in the Lamb's Book of Life were written there before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
The book was sealed. It's sealed with seven seals. Nobody's name's going to be erased out of the book. And everybody's name who was inscribed in the book of God was written with the indelible ink pen of God's free and sovereign grace. Never going to be erased. Never going to fade away. In fact, the Lord said, I've written your names upon the palms of my hand. I'm not going to forget you. So here's what He's saying. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also named them. He named them. And whom He named, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? God's elect. Nobody's going to lay a charge to God's elect. Because God justified His elect. We're justified by the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. We're justified by free grace. We're justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. In fact, He says in verse 34, who is He that condemneth? Nobody can condemn us because Christ Jesus has died. Yea, rather, He's risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession. And then one other scripture. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'm not sure what y'all's allergies are bothering you this time of year, and your signs, mine are, so I'll just have a drink. I keep wondering if they'll put something in beside the water. Look at this, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. This is what the apostle wrote to these people in Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. Knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. This is what the apostle said. He said, I know your election. I know God chose you unto salvation. You want to say, how do you know that? I mean, I understand you're an inspired apostle, but have you gone up into heaven and opened up the Lamb's Book of Life that's sealed with seven seals? Have you looked into the book to see our name? He said, no. No. How do you know that then? How do you know? And I'm looking at you this morning, and as best as I can discern, and of course I don't know anybody's heart, I can't see your heart, but from what I perceive, I know your election of God. As best as I can know. Well, what do you base that on, preacher? Verse 5. Because our gospel, this good news message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified of salvation by grace, this gospel, it didn't come to you in word only. Now wait, it did first come in word. It did come in word. But not word only. That's what he says. But it came to you also in power. And in the Holy Ghost. And in much assurance. As you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us. And of the Lord, having received the word, you received the word, even though there was much affliction and much persecution, you received the word. How do you know your election? How can you know you're one of the elect? Oh, preacher, I understand, I believe, as best as I can comprehend, there was an election of grace, but how can I know that I'm one of the elect? Do you believe on the name of the Son of God?
Amen.
Are you looking to Christ Jesus alone? Now watch it. For everything. I'm talking about righteousness, life, forgiveness, acceptance. Do you have any reliance on your labors or your deeds, your tears, your faith, your repentance? You say, oh, preacher, Christ is all of my hope. We're talking about the Christ of the Scriptures now. Not Christ as you imagine Him to be, but as He set forth in the book. He's all of your hope. Who do you trust in? Christ. What did He do? He died for poor sinners. I'm looking to His death. I'm looking to His shed blood for the pardon of my sins. I'm looking to Christ. Those things are the evidences of the election.
Amen.
That's what they are. They're the evidences of the election. I tell you, this is a biblical doctrine. And it's a delightful doctrine. I fully believe this, that when God brings a man to see that the reason he's saved is because of God's eternal purpose of grace, when God makes us to realize that our salvation is to be traced back to the eternal council chambers of God Himself. When the Spirit of God shows us that Christ died in the stead of sinners, He satisfied God's just demands. When the Spirit quickens us and gives us faith, and we're made to realize we're one of the chosen ones, it fills us with thanksgiving and joy. I've had people say, oh, that's a hard doctrine. It's not hard. It's a salt pillow. It's a salt pillow. I tell you this, the apostle rejoiced in God's election of grace. The Apostle Paul did in Ephesians chapter 1. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blemish, without blame, before Him in love." God chose us. He delighted in that. That thrilled His soul. It's not a hard doctrine. It's a blessed doctrine. It's a sweet doctrine. Amen. It's an encouraging doctrine. Because if we have any understanding of our natural depravity, then we know if God had not set His everlasting electing love upon us, we would never have gone to Him. We would never have believed Him. We wouldn't be saved. We'd perish forever, but for His electing grace.
Amen.
Simon Peter rejoiced in this election. He said, "You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." David rejoiced in God's electing grace. He said in Psalm 65 verse 4, "Blessed or blessed is the man whom Thou choosest." That means highly favored. Highly favored is the man whom Thou choosest and causes to approach unto Thee, that he may dwell in Thy temple. And I'll tell you somebody else who rejoiced in electing grace. Our Savior did. You look over at Matthew chapter 11. The book of Matthew chapter 11. Oh yes, our Lord Jesus Christ, He instructed people in the doctrine of divine election, and He rejoiced in it. And He gave thanks for it. Look at Matthew chapter 11. For the sake of our time, look at verse 25. Matthew 11, 25. "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto the babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in Thy sight." He said, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father. No man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him." He told His disciples, "You didn't choose me. I chose you. And I ordained you to go forth and bear fruit." He said in John chapter 6, and He said this several times throughout the Gospel of John. He said, "All that the Father giveth me." He spoke of those the Father gave Him. He said in His high priestly prayer, "Of all those that Thou hast given me, I should lose nothing. Not losing any of them." I tell you, this is a delightful doctrine. It's a soothing doctrine. It's a comforting doctrine. And it's an encouraging doctrine. And I'm going to finish this tonight. But let me say this to you. Maybe there's somebody here this morning, or somebody watching. Say, "Oh, preacher, this election of grace, is it for me? Can it be that I should be found among the elect?" Well, I don't know whether you will be found among the elect or not. But if deep in your soul you feel the need of Christ Jesus, I mean, this is not a shallow thing. This is not something frivolous to you. It's not a momentary, I'm bothered now, but I'll get over it. I'm talking about if deep in your soul you're greatly troubled. You need Christ Jesus. You're thirsty for the water of life. and you're hungry for the bread of life. All I say to you, you come and drink. Come and eat. I say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
Tell you, God's got lots of mercy for old vile sinners like me and you. And if you do come, it'll be because God effectually draws you to Christ Jesus. And He will effectually draw you to Christ Jesus because you're one of those sheep for whom the Savior died. One of those given to Him in the election of grace. See, this is why we don't congratulate sinners for coming to Christ. We don't say, wow, it's about time. It's about time you made your decision. Oh, no. We give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God chose you. See, faith in the Savior is an evidence of this election. It's an evidence. I say to all of you, come on. Come on with the rest of us. That's all we are. And we're just a bunch of sinners. Everyone, we're a bunch of failures in here. So, well, no, not me. Well, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the sinners. I mean, genuine. A sinner is a sacred thing. The hymn writer said, the Holy Ghost has made him so. I say to sinners, you come on. And know this. The reason you're coming. And several of us, we're still coming to Christ, aren't we? Because faith isn't a one-time event. It's a lifelong pursuit of Jesus Christ. The reason is because He chose us. What a sweet doctrine. What a sweet truth. And that encourages my poor soul. And this is encouragement for sinners.
Amen.
You say, well, don't preach election to sinners. Why not? That's what I said. Why not? Man, we better preach that God's got this. We better preach that salvation is of the Lord. They say, well, people won't believe you. You'll have a lot of empty spots in the church like you do this morning. Well, I'm not preaching to those that are not interested. I'm preaching to the interested ones. And if we have an interest, I'll tell you who gave us the interest. He did. He who gave that interest, He'll maintain it too. He'll keep us interested to the day of Jesus Christ. Well, let's see.